How much to the Buddha? How much to the Dharma? How much to the Sangha? Good morning. Would like to talk about the five remembrances today. They've been coming up a lot for me lately, and if you've been around Buddhism for a while, you've most likely heard them. I am of the nature to grow old. I cannot escape growing old. I am of the nature of ill health. I cannot escape ill health. I am of the nature to die. I cannot escape death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. My actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground on which I stand. This is Thich Nhat Hanh's translation. Here's another translation of that last verse. I am the owner of my kamma, the heir of my kamma. I have kamma as my origin, kamma as my relative, kamma as my resort. I will be the heir of whatever kamma, good or bad, that I do. These five remembrances are fundamental teachings of early Buddhism. They come from the Upajatana Sutta, which translates as subjects for contemplation. And in this discourse, the Buddha urges his disciples to contemplate these thoughts, to reflect on them often, to memorize them, to take them to heart. And of course, we meet the first three in that seminal story of the Buddha leaving the protected environment of his palace and encountering the sights that shook him to his core: an old person, a sick person, and a corpse. The story goes that his father had wanted to protect him from these hard truths of life so that he would stay in the palace and rule as a king rather than become a spiritual seeker. The fourth thing that the Buddha saw, a wise man, an ascetic who was calm and radiant in the midst of such suffering, must have convinced him that one could somehow come to terms with the suffering that he had seen. The fourth remembrance on the list is the teaching of anicca, impermanence. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. It points to the futility of trying to hold on to things as they are, to what we hold dear, to people we love, to life itself. And the fifth addresses karma, the truth that how we live our lives matters, that we can express the truth of the Dharma in our lives. Here we have agency. Here we can grow. When I first heard the five remembrances, I wasn't impressed. These seemed like they were just stating the obvious. They were a little boring, actually. In those days, I wanted something more mind-boggling. I wanted the teachings of the Wisdom Sutras. What's wrong with mind-boggling? Yeah. I wanted the Diamond Sutra that cuts through all delusion of a self, the Heart Sutra that takes away everything we think we are and leaves us with emptiness. Dogen's teachings that pull the rug out from under us. Hongzhi, who tells us that deliberations about being and non-being are entirely abandoned and then wonder appears before you. Those teachings that I love about suchness, the vastness of our being, our true nature that has no beginning and no end. Why are we suddenly talking about knee replacement surgery and trips to the emergency room? And heart monitors. In the midst of all of this talk, these remembrances have been coming up for me as quiet comments on my life. I'm sorry, we are talking about those things. And I have begun to appreciate the quality of them, I'm right in the thick of growing old, dealing with ill health, mine and my husband's, thinking about our deaths. It's that stage of life. The other day, I wanted to take down a curtain rod. It was high, almost up to the ceiling, so I got out the tall ladder. And it's true that I was thinking that maybe this wasn't a good idea. My balance isn't so good. My legs are not reliable. But I wanted the curtain rod down, and I wasn't in the mood to listen to that voice of caution. And my husband walked into the room, and he said, and he's a retired emergency room physician, he said, "Would you like me to tell you about all the old people who wind up in the ER because they think they can do things they did when they were 50? So I put the ladder away. And when it came back and looked at the curtain rod that was still there, by the way, I thought, oh, I am of the nature to grow old. I cannot escape growing old. And then I noticed the quality of that voice. It was tender, compassionate, and yet firm and perfectly clear. It was inviting me to see clearly how things are, to meet the conditions of my life as they are, without adding anything extra. Be honest about the nature of your life, the truth of how your life is, this voice was saying. These five remembrances are sometimes called messengers, and it can be painful to hear the message they bring. We live in a culture that tries to forget them, that tries to fight against them. Our culture tells us how important it is to look good, to look young, to be strong, to fight death in any way we can. The message is that we are not enough as we are. And I think that we all believe that message to some degree in one way or another. But our way is to stop, to be still, to just be as we are, to see how we are. Kyogen one time said to me, "What you've signed up for is to see what's left when everything you think you are drops away." And Dogen tells us that that process of loss, that dropping away, is the same process of dropping off body and mind. We let go of what we are not. But then, of course, he says, and then your original face will manifest. It takes courage to look at our deepest fears, fear of loss, fear of old age, maybe the fear of not being in control of our life, the fear of incapacity, of failure, of helplessness, pain, messiness, indignity. I'm afraid of forgetting who you are. I forget names and places. I forget words, forget faces. Death is so unknowable and yet so intimate and so certain. When we invite those fears into our awareness, we can stop seeing them as enemies. "Please come sit with me," we say. "I am not other than you. You are not other than me." This is a radical act of intimacy, of acceptance. This is bowing to our whole life. A few weeks ago, Jiko talked about bowing, how it means being fully present, right here, right now. When we can do that, she said, it opens our hearts. And when we can open our hearts to things as they are, and we see the world as it is, we can touch the sacredness of it. It allows us to be truly who we are, compassionate, clear-sighted, aware of the interconnectedness of our true nature. When we can bow to these remembrances that seem to speak of our limitations, we open ourselves up to limitless possibilities. We learn to see that we are in harmony with what is. It takes practice, and so we practice day after day, moment by moment. Here's a verse that I love that speaks to this continuous practice, sometimes referred to as the evening gatha. In some Zen centers, it's carved on their han. In some places, it's recited as the last verse of the evening. Let me respectfully remind you, life and death are of supreme importance. Time swiftly passes by and opportunity is lost. Each of us should strive to awaken. Awaken. Take heed. Do not squander your life. And so looking at my curtain rod, I thought, yes, this is how transformation takes place. This is how we go from the fear of our human limitations and suffering to awareness of our enlightened nature. I know that it takes being willing to see, to just be with this present moment, with the truth of our life as it is. It takes returning to that seeing, to this very place, over and over again until we become intimate with it, relaxed around it, the way we are with close friends. So these five remembrances in reminding us of our limitations are offering us the opportunity to be who we authentically are. They're offering us fearlessness. During the festival of Vesak in the spring, we bathe the baby Buddha with sweet tea. This festival is the celebration of his birth. And the statue that we use for it shows him as a baby or a very young child. He's standing with one hand pointing to the earth, one hand pointing to the sky. Remember? I think it's that one. I'm thinking now that it illustrates what I've been talking about. One hand pointing to the earth, to our humanness. Coming from the earth, rooted in it, and of the nature of it. The law of the earth is anicca, impermanence. Everything changes. Everything that comes together must come apart. Everything that comes from the earth returns to the earth. His other hand is pointing to the limitless sky, to the infinite nature that we are. And at the center, a human heart, one that beats to the rhythm of our life. One that will one day stop beating and is also the heart of the Buddha beyond space and time. Last week, Jushin expressed how happy she was to be born in the human realm. I think being in the human realm is this, of the nature of the vast endless sky, and also deeply rooted in the earth, in the never-ending flow of life and death, always being born and dying. There is no way to fully live our lives without allowing ourselves to be intimate with the messages of the five remembrances. They offer a gateway to living with awareness and appreciation for our human existence. I read the other day that a monk, being a mendicant, doesn't offer material goods. A monk offers the Dharma and fearlessness. We'd like to offer the fearlessness that comes from seeing clearly the message of the five remembrances. Accepting them, whatever we choose to do, the actions we choose to take, will come from that place of honesty and transparency and awareness of intimacy. This is expressed in the last of the five remembrances. My actions are the ground upon which I stand. Here we have choice. It's here that we express our vow to realize the way with all beings. That's my talk. It was a short one, but I said what I wanted to say. So. Okay.
If you're in the center, please raise your hand and have it raised while I'm bringing the microphone to you because I have a very short memory. Please speak your name before you offer your question or comment and hold the microphone like 2 inches from your mouth and at 45 degree angle so that people on Zoom can hear you. If you are on Zoom, you could either type in your name or your question in the chat box and Kaylin will either unmute you or read the question for you.
Thank you for your talk, Xinyu. I'm Guy. I was thinking this is more of a just an observation than a question, but you might have some feedback. In a way, there's sort of this complementarity between all of the five remembrances that really occurred to me, which is, for example, especially in our times, we can kind of escape, in a certain sense, the impermanence. We kind of double down on the karma as a result. I was thinking about forever chemicals. I was thinking about plastics. We've figured out some pretty sophisticated and ingenious ways to sort of dodge certain of them, certain of these, but then, the karma really hits us hard. So there's sort of this, like I said, complementarity or dialectic between all of them.
I wouldn't have thought of that. So thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Shane. And thank you for your talk. When you mentioned the five remembrances, I thought about a time in my life. The five remembrances is really close to my heart. I had those written on a piece of computer paper and taped to the cell wall in the prison that I was in. And I looked at that and read that every day for a couple of years. And right now it's particularly pertinent to what I'm doing in life. And in specific, terms, impulsive behavior that leads to, actions that I regret. And, I'm talking about maybe just a response to somebody who is, yelling at me or something. And then impulsivity kicks in, and before too long, I've jumped into the delusions with the other person, and then regret it. And now I'm standing on actions that I regret. Do you have a suggestion in my practice, something I could do that would help me with impulsivity?
Take a breath. Take a breath before you speak. Take a breath before you act so that you can bring awareness to what it is that you're doing or what it is that you're about to say or what it is that you're feeling. And if you can't do that, if it just like comes out before the breath, then you can notice afterwards that, oh, that wasn't really what I wanted to do. And if you keep noticing afterwards, then you'll be in that habit of noticing, and the noticing will come sooner, maybe in the midst of, and then hopefully right before. And then you can take a breath.
Thank you.
Hello, Xinyu. This is Thomas. Thank you for your talk. Your story of like the curtain rod and dealing with like adaptations just kind of reminds me of my own thing going on right now where I injured my hand. I won't go into the whole story here, although I was tempted. One of the questions that comes to mind for me is, with these five remembrances and like old age, injury, death, like there's some level of like we make changes and adaptations. And I'm wondering like what you might say about how you deal with those adaptations. One of them was like, I mean, your husband came in and is like, do you want me to tell you all the ways this is a bad idea? but yeah, like there's adaptations. I'm wondering if you have something to say about that.
We're always adapting, right? Even strong, healthy young people are adapting. And those adaptations are an acknowledgement of things as they are, of how things are in the moment, right? Like, you start to do something, I don't know, with some power tool or something, and you might think, oh, maybe this is not a good idea, right? Or whatever it is that you're going to do, and you think better of it because you're thinking more of, like, your vision of the situation is becoming a little wider instead of just, whoa, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm constantly making adaptations, you know, to adjust for my aging and circumstances and so on. And I try to do them graciously. And sometimes I do them grudgingly. Yeah, but I'm aiming for the former.
Do you find that there's something that helps you through those moments of when you find begrudging or resistance? Like, it's not always easy to like ask for help or to like try and like do something differently than you're used to.
I think what helps is a kind of softening and a bowing, that bowing to circumstances. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
This is Caitlin on Zoom. The lapel mic is getting really faint, especially when you turn to talk to people. So just kind of being mindful to have it as close as it can go.
Maybe I can just hold it like that. Is that better?
That is amazing if you can do that. Ta-da. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Shinyu, this is Satan. Mm. Thank you for your talk. What was coming up for me around this was, you know, my mom was just in the hospital over this summer. My mom was in the hospital over this summer. And I wasn't thinking about these remembrances in particular, but their message definitely got through in a way that surprised me, the clarity of the possibility of death and loss of someone that I deeply love and owe so much to, reminded me of just the importance of, I think, that last remembrance of like karma and sort of like cutting through my own fear and illusion and being a source of love for another, of care for another. And I'm also noticing now that, you know, the situation is stabilized, how easy it is to actually forget that again. But I don't want to forget that because it is, like you say, such a tender place to be in. And it feels so important when I'm there, remembering that all of this is impermanent. I guess I just wanted to echo that and thank you for your talk.
No, thank you for sharing that. Would you? Actually, Setan was talking about
the his experience of his mother being in the hospital over the summer and having those emotions of the five remembrances coming up because he loves her so much and is so grateful to her. And he says now that that situation has stabilized, that he doesn't want to forget that those strong emotions. Is that more or less? What did I miss?
Yeah, thanks for like you were saying, like it's a very tender place to be when we're connected to these remembrances. And when I'm there, it feels so clearly like the most important thing. But it's so easy to forget them, even when I just had this big experience of like potentially losing someone. Yeah. So yeah, thank you for helping me remember.
Mm-hmm. I think that when you've been through something like that, you don't really forget. You know, you are changed as a person, as a son, you know. So that's part of you now.
Thank you.
Thank you for your talk, Xunyu. This is Nancy. Can you hear me? Zoom? Okay. There are three people on my block right now that I know about who are suffering from dementia, and one is in home hospice. And when I saw your topic for the week in the e-bulletin, I was like, well, yeah, here it is. And I went back and read them one by one on the internet, and I knew that what you had to say was going to be pretty spot on. Those things about the curtain rod and this and that, I encounter those too, and then I go, shit, you know, and I don't catch it before I'm begrudging it, but I do reflect on it. Is there a way to catch those little guys before I'm cursing?
I didn't really tell you what I said.
Well, I told you.
I mean, we notice, right? We notice our actions. We notice after. We can maybe think better of them. And we keep noticing and we keep noticing. And I think it was
Shane,
I was mentioning this to Shane, that eventually that noticing becomes part of who we are, part of our habit, and it changes what comes before.
Yeah.
Maybe it becomes, oh darn, you know.
I'm struck by the changes in my neighbors. And one of these people is an artist, and just, you know, we could see things were starting to change, and now they're like really, really changing. And he's got this whole stack of books that somebody from, I don't remember the acronym, but it's helping people go through their transition process. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like a manual. This is how y'all gonna die. And this is gonna happen mm-hmm. to your body. It's going to happen to your thought process. And he's just like there with it. He's like, okay. And it's kind of lovely in a way to see, and on top of, I'm going to miss my friend. But it sounds like he's peacefully with it until he's, you know, his mind's starting to go too, but I don't know. I kind of wish that I was the prince in the palace for a bit sometimes. You know, it's like everything's great all the time, you know, and then his curiosity took him outside. And now we have Buddha. Thank you.
And I think that's a gift for your friend, that you're there and that you care about him.
Good morning, Chinyu. This is Flying Fish. And I just wanted to say, I had those five remembrances posted on my desk when I was in architecture, which, so not just the end of life, but actually complications came up and people got angry intensely. And those five remembrances posted on my wall kept me connected to the human condition in a much more different scenario. So I just kind of wanted to bring that to the group. You don't have to wait to the end of your life. So, but I do love the way that you talked about how it touches us in a tender place. And in that way, we can connect then to our humanness. And that opens up really difficult situations for me. So thank you for your talk.
Thank you for sharing.
Before you got into your talk, before you talked about the curtain rod, my name's Gail. I thought that you were going to tell us more about caring for your husband who has been having some serious health challenges lately. So I thought that's what you were going to tell us about. And instead, you flipped it. And that threw me for a loop because it was Aaron who was counseling you in this case about aging and body changes associated with that. And I'm glad that he did that. But how did that feel to you? I mean, I've been thinking of you as being the one in the caregiver role. So I was surprised and pleasantly so.
We care for each other. It's mutual. He's pretty clear-sighted, you know, about what our condition is right now. And so we support each other. And caution each other, you know, when we're about to do something unwise.
Well, you know, for most of my adult life, I've been characterized as pretty independent. My mother would always say, Gail, you're too independent for your own good. And so it's kind of surprising that now I find myself living in a community, a senior community of over 300 people, and we all care for each other. And that is a wonderful thing. So there's always somebody to move the curtain rod, either another neighbor or somebody on the staff. Or one of the nurses. So it's a very nice thing. And maybe, you know, who knows, maybe someday you might enjoy that too.
That's something that I really love about Roseville is that caring for each other that really can be felt. So, yeah, thank you.
My name is Ben Kay, and your talk got me thinking about my mother. She's 94 years old and is at late stage Alzheimer's. It's been going on for about 8 years, and she hasn't known who I am since 2021. You know, and I go and visit her. She lives in Illinois, and I visit her once a year. I'm getting ready to do that again in 2 weeks. At this point, you know, she's making up her own language and stuff like that. You know, it's getting pretty
far on.
And she has 24-hour health care. You know, she can afford it. And hospice visits her once a week. My sister has power of attorney over her health care decisions. And she got this voicemail back in January from the hospice people saying that she had died. And then later that day, she gets another one and says, oh, sorry, wrong number. You know, but the thing was, both her and myself kind of wish that first message was true, you know, because she's so, in our opinion, she is so out of it. But who am I to say, you know? You know, once I really thought about it, you know, it's, what's it to me? You know, it's her life. She's got the care. She's not a burden to me, really, you know? And so I just kind of felt ashamed for the, you know, the initial response. And so, you know, I'm just going to go visit her and hang out with her and be with her and love her in whatever way I can. What else is there to do? I'd share that.
Thank you.